Today is Saturday, the 30th of March 2024, and we are gathered here for the 126th session on mindfulness for beginners in the English medium, conducted by Nisaranay Porus Monastery, led by Venerable Bhante Homagamadam Kusalathero. And I would like to welcome Venerable Bhante Homagamadam Kusalathero to today's session on behalf of all of us with great respect. Furthermore, I would like to welcome all of you joining through Zoom and also through the live stream over Facebook to today's session. Our session will commence with in-session practice guided by Bhante to give you a taste and flavor of what happens during a mindfulness session. And then we would move on to the talk on mindfulness delivered by Bhante based on today's topic, a new topic for today. And then we will move on to the question and answer session where your written reports sent today for today's session will be presented to Bhante. And then you will also have a chance of voicing your own question or our statement of mindfulness practice if there is time and if you are willing to do that. So I would like to invite Venerable Bhante to commence today's session with the in-session practice guided by Bhante. Thank you, Bhante. Over to Bhante. Much merits.
Thanks, Namantha. Hello, everyone. Today, we'll do a sit-in session to start the program. For this, you can adjust your seat, make sure that you are comfortable. Once you are comfortable and balanced in your posture, you can gently close your eyes. You are seated in a comfortable manner and you have your eyes closed. Gently bring your attention to the present moment and notice what you feel. What we are trying is to be conscious without getting carried away by the things. You may feel a variety of things. You simply try to continue with your observation without getting carried away. You may notice bodily sensations that are there. You may feel surrounding sounds. Thoughts, memories. Future planning. These things come and go. Some of you might feel sleepy. Some of you might feel pain, irritations in your body. Among all these things, we simply try to continue our observation. As a group, let's try to continue for a few more minutes. Okay, everyone. Now you can open your eyes again. That's just few minutes of mindful sitting, just to give you an idea, so you can practice on your own. With that, Namanthi, you can take over.
Thank you, Anurvanti, and much better to you. Next, we will have the talk coming up on the topic of mindfulness chosen for today. I would like to invite Vinod Banthi again on behalf of all of us to commence with the talk for today. Over to Banthi again. Much merit.
Okay, everyone. We have a new topic today. We'll take some time to discuss this fresh topic and see how we can relate it to our practice. Now, we deal with the world, we talk to other people, we perceive things that are happening in the outside world. So in this way, we deal with this world, we do certain things, we come into certain decisions based on our observations. So this is how we function. Let's say when we function this way, we perceive a solid reality. We see that outside world is like this. This person is like this. These things are happening like this. So that way we perceive a solid reality. Let's say suddenly you fall ill. Suddenly you face with an illness, and due to this illness, you may have a hallucination. And you may go to a doctor, you may go to the hospital, and they will say that you had a hallucination due to this illness. You saw this due to this illness. It wasn't real, it was just the illness that caused this hallucination. So the doctors will come into a conclusion that this hallucination or this uncontrolled perception was due to the illness. So these incidents are not foreign to us. Time to time we go through such incidents. We see things due to the illness, and the doctors will say that it wasn't real, it was just a hallucination. That perception was uncontrolled, that uncontrolled perception you had due to the illness. So in a way, let's say this illness caused you to see an uncontrolled perception. Something that wasn't real as per our understanding. But let's imagine. So what is our usual perception? We can call it a controlled perception. As long as the perception is controlled, we call it the reality. When the perception is uncontrolled, we call it a hallucination. What is reality? If all of us can agree on a hallucination, then we call it a reality. It's not just you. Instead, the all of us, we have to agree on this hallucination. Once we agree on this hallucination, we call it a reality. In other words, it's a controlled perception. When the perception is controlled, we say it's reality. When we all can agree upon something, we call it the reality. When we can't agree upon something, when the perception is uncontrolled, we call it a hallucination. Right? So today, the idea is that whether it could be controlled, whether it could be uncontrolled, we are in a hallucination. Our perception is our hallucination. It could be controlled, it could be uncontrolled. We can agree upon it, we may not agree upon it. But anyway, we are living in a hallucination. It's an hallucination that's created by our mind. It's a hallucination that's created by our senses. Now, there's no reality as per se. Instead, whatever we perceive, it's our own unique hallucination. We perceive the world in a way, and if the others can agree upon that hallucination, then we call it a reality. We perceive the world in a certain way. If others don't agree, we call it a hallucination due to an illness. Whatever we perceive, whether it is controlled, whether it is uncontrolled, we are living in a hallucination. So that's the idea for today. That's the quote that's on the poster. Some of you might remember this quote from a song. Song that was popular in 90s, Hotel California. They have this quote, right? We are all just prisoners here of our own device. So that's the idea. We feel that we perceive a world. We feel that we see things from the outside world. We feel that we talk and deal with other people. But we are all just prisoners in our own mind, in our own perception. Whether you believe it or not, whether we can agree upon it or not, we are all just prisoners in our own perception. We are living in a hallucination, and that, although we think it's our reality, that's not true. Instead, we have our own unique hallucination, right? So that's how we perceive the world. That's how we deal with the world. Now, let's say certain incidents are there. One of the incidents would be an illness. When you face an illness, you can see these hallucinations and you call them the uncontrolled perception. In a way, you see certain faults in the reality that you are experiencing. Let's say you are about to faint and you feel the room spinning. Your senses are not working properly and you see the room spinning while you are standing still. But what's truly happening is that your senses are weak and it is uncontrolled now. When it is uncontrolled, you can see that it's not the reality. You feel that it's not the reality. Let's say when our body is sick, we don't feel the taste of our food properly. And you may call that's due to the sickness that you can't feel the food properly. You can't taste the food properly. But there is no difference in the food actually. It's our own senses. When the body is sick, when the senses are not properly working, we don't feel the taste. The appetite is not there. But when the senses are properly working, when the perception is controlled, we feel the taste and we have the appetite. So this is how we deal with the world. So today's idea is that we try to understand, try to transcend this hallucination with the practice of mindfulness. You shouldn't take this so seriously because this is just a hallucination. We are all just prisoners here of our own perception, of our own mind. Right? So that way we experience this. That way we deal with this world. Now, there's this nice story, an analogy. I think it's from Plato. He's saying that he is in giving a situation where three people, for their entire life, they live chained and they only see shadows on a wall. They have a light source behind them, and for their entire life, they have only seen the shadows. When people move around, they see the shadows of them. When animals move around, they see the shadows of them. So they have been living in this shadow world forever, as long as they can remember. They have been living in this. So that's their reality. And suddenly, one person, he was released from the chains. So this person, suddenly he got the ability to move around. So he goes out and he see, although it is difficult to see things initially, although his eyes weren't adjusting initially, little by little, he got adjusted to the outside environment and he started to see the real people there. He started to see the real animals there. He started to see the real trees and other things there. So suddenly this person, he realized that past all these years, we have been living in a false reality. Now I am seeing the reality. Earlier it was just a shadow world. Now we see the real world. So this person lived there for a while. Then he remembered his friends who were chained there. So he went to them and he told them that this is not the real reality. This is just shadows that we see. Instead, you have to go outside and see the real people. Real people are like this. Outside world is like this. Colors are like this. The sun is like this. So this way he was explaining. But the other prisoners, they didn't believe him. They wasn't assured. They wasn't convinced of this story. So they got together and beat him up, saying that you are trying to deceive us, saying that you are trying to mislead us. So that's how we are. We have been experiencing this hallucination. As long as we can remember, we have been experiencing it. We have been living it. So suddenly somebody comes and tell you that this is just a hallucination. You don't want to believe it. You will argue with that person. You won't be convinced. You will say that I have these problems. They are real. I have these, all these properties. These things are real. These are my family members. They are real. This is my thoughts, memories, emotions. They are real. So you won't agree with this person. You won't believe this person. You are not convinced. So in a way, Buddha is like this person who has seen the outside. He has seen the real reality and he is giving us some pointers, saying this is not the real reality. You are just living in a hallucination. Hallucination of your perception, hallucination of your mind. You got to see the outside world. You got to see the real reality. But we are not ready to listen to Buddha. We are not ready to accept that idea. We are not convinced. Although we hear this story, our mind will repeatedly tell us that this is real. Whenever there is a problem, you feel the problem is real. Whenever you feel pain, the pain is real. Whether it's physical or whether it's emotional, you feel this pain and it is real. When somebody tell you something bad, when somebody blame you for something, when somebody goes away from your life, You feel this friction, you feel this difficulty in your mind, and it is quite real. So although as an idea we say we are living in a hallucination, this hallucination is all we know. This hallucination is so real, so solid to us. That's why we are trying to practice meditation in our life. That's why we are recommended to practice meditation. We are recommended to practice mindfulness. And when it comes to meditation, you have to understand it's not something, you know, mystical. It's not something, you know, being high, floating somewhere. That's not the real meditation. Meditation, the word, it's a cursed word. Lot of various ways, lot of various methods are there. But the true meditation, the real meditation, is simply being aware. Being aware. It is not about seeing beautiful colors in your mind. It is not about, you know, feeling this peace and, you know, feeling like high or feeling like floating. That's not the meditation. Instead, simply observing the present moment without getting carried away by it. That's the real meditation. And that's the way to understand that we are living in a hallucination. This is the way. You have to gradually start observing your reality. When you start observing, it won't take so long for you to realize this is just a hallucination. We have been ignorant in all our life, and that's why we didn't see the reality. If you can keep observing the present moment, then you start to see the reality little by little. So that's why we recommend the formal practice. That's why we recommend the daily mindfulness practice. Initially start with at least like 30 minutes of mindful walking, 30 minutes of mindful sitting. Daily try to continue with that. That way we try to develop the ability to observe without getting carried away. That way we try to develop the ability to observe without being deceived by these thoughts, emotions. You have to strengthen that ability. In order to strengthen that ability, you have to do formal practice, daily sitting, walking practice, at least for like 30 minutes each, you have to do. That way you continue for a while. And when you continue for a while, you realize even the day-to-day activities, you can do them mindfully. And when you try to do this observation, when you try to transcend this hallucination, there is no real rush. You have to be patient with it. You can't do it with a rush. You have to be patient with it. And you have to observe patiently. You have to observe deeply. You have to observe sanely, right? So this way you have to continue with this observation. Most people, their problem is they are in a hurry. They want to finish the meditation within few days. They want to finish the meditation within few months. They have this target when it comes to meditation. But you have to understand that very target is also a part of this hallucination. Wanting to get somewhere, wanting to try and see the reality, that too is a part of this hallucination. So that's why we say there's no real hurry. You do your part and gradually continue with the practice. And when you do this, little by little, you start to see the reality of this world. Otherwise, you start to transcend this hallucination. Little by little, it will happen, not initially. Sometimes you feel things that doesn't sound real, especially in your walking or sitting meditation, in your formal practice, you start to experience things. You start to experience uncontrolled perception. And when it is uncontrolled, you will say it's not true, it's not real. Other people, they too won't agree with you. They will say it's not real, it didn't happen. That way they respond to you. But you have to understand, now you are starting to see the nature of this hallucination. Especially in your sitting and walking practice, you may see certain images. You may feel that you are talking to somebody, dialogues, monologues. They are in your sitting walking practices. And it feels so real initially, but soon you realize that it's not quite real. Did I really feel this? Did this really happen? You might say, you might question. Now, somebody a few days back, that person shared his experience saying that he was sitting in the meditation hall. He was doing his sitting practice and he started to notice that a lot of people, they came and they joined his sitting session. There are some people, they came and sit in front of him. Some people, they came and sat on the sides. So this way, maybe like 20, 30 people, they joined me with my sitting practice. At the end of it, it was a hall full of people meditating. And it was so real. They were meditating, I was meditating. But suddenly I woke up, suddenly I got up from the meditation, I opened my eyes, and there were only two people in the meditation hall. During that time, I could feel that they were so real, 20, 30 people seated and meditating along with me. But when I opened my eyes, I could only see two people there. They were there before as well. So this is how you start to see the holes in your sense doors, the holes in your perception. You start to see the hallucination as a hallucination. And when such things happen, usually most people, they get overwhelmed by such experiences. But if you are a meditator, if you are a good meditator, if you are a patient meditator, if you are a matured meditator, you know these things are just different incidents, one-off incidents. They happen, but they too shall pass. You simply have to be patient with it, and next day it'll be a whole new experience. You don't anticipate it tomorrow. You don't expect it tomorrow, and tomorrow it has its own unique meditation experience. So this way, certain things happen. Sometimes you discuss with somebody, a dialogue with somebody that's there. Sometimes a monologue in your mind, right? So this way, you feel certain incidents, you go through certain experiences, but suddenly you wonder, is it real? Did I hear that sound for real? Or was it just in my mind? So this way, these senses, they become a bit blurry. The solid perception, it becomes blurry. When it becomes blurry, you get overwhelmed by it. You get fearful. Now these things are happening, I might go crazy, you would say. These things are happening, I might not be able to function in my daily life, you would doubt. Right? So this is how the newcomers to the practice, they respond to such situations. But you have to understand you are living in a hallucination, and you start to see that hallucination as a hallucination. You start to see the perception becoming blurry. So that's a good thing in your meditation, because earlier you didn't know. That's why you took this hallucination so strongly. That's why you thought this hallucination is so real. But now, with the support of meditation, you start to see the blurry nature. You start to transcend this hallucination. And when you go through such experiences repeatedly, when you do your meditation practice for weeks and months, then you realize sometimes even the real things happen. Real things happen in the outside world. It is agreed by the society that it was real. It was a controlled perception, and people agree it was something real. But still, you are not so much moved by it. Why? Because your mind has this deep understanding that this too is a hallucination. Earlier, you took life so seriously. Now, you don't care that much. Your mind doesn't care that much. It doesn't worry that much. What is happening? Now, your mind is little by little transcending this hallucination. The problems appear. Your family members, they create problems. Outside incidents, they create problems. Time to time, various problems happen. You have to go through such experiences. You have to go through rough patches. But what you realize is that your mind is not so much moved by these incidents. Why? Because you know that this is a hallucination. That deep understanding is there. That deep understanding is there. You are not simply thinking and deciding, but your mind has transcended this hallucination a little, and that's why it's not taking these things so seriously. Things are happening. You are responding. You are doing your thing. You are taking care of things, but still, your mind is not so much moved. That's the real way to transcend this hallucination. Thinking it won't help. Thinking this is a hallucination, this is a hallucination, this is a hallucination, that won't help that much. Instead, what you have to do is continue observing this. And when you continue observing this, you realize your mind penetrates, your mind transcends this hallucination little by little. Somebody who has been practicing for like 3 or 4 months, that person was sharing their experience after 3 months, saying, I am living a really busy life. I have a family life. I have these great responsibilities at work. So I'm doing all these things. But now, due to the practice, I realize the stress I used to have, that's not there anymore. Still, I feel the stress, but it is considerably less. Compared to the earlier stress I had before my meditation, now it is only a little friction that I feel in my daily life. What has happened? You have seen, your mind has seen that this is a hallucination. And due to that, your mind is not creating so much fuss out of these things, these incidents. So that's the deep understanding that we are talking. That's not coming from the thinking. Instead, it's really penetrating this hallucination. That's what the meditation is all about. That's why you have to do your meditation. Meditation is not about thinking. It's not. It's not about thinking words. It's not about, you know, repeating mantras. No, simply paying attention to the present moment, simply continuing this observation without getting carried away by things. That's the real meditation. Initially, some people do labeling, like in breath in, out, that way they label. Sometimes, you know, left, right, that way they label the walking. So some people, they find it helpful. Initially, we too sometimes recommend it. But soon, the real meditators, when their meditation matures, they realize this labeling is also bothersome. You don't really need this labeling to do your observation. When you say in and out, that's only two conditions, zero or one. But in between, there are so many other stages in this process. The breathing process is so complicated. You can't simply divide it into two conditions. The in-breath fades away and becomes the out-breath. There's not real stopping. Instead, there is a gray area, a blurry area in between. Then the out-breath becomes blurry and becomes the in-breath. So you realize this process is so vast, so complicated. You can't simply observe it as two stages, zero or one. Instead, you can see that it is so precious, it is so in detail when you simply be with the process. You be with the in-breath and feel it and realize that how it fades away and becomes the out-breath. Then you be with the out-breath, then again the out-breath becomes blurry at the end and becomes the in-breath. So this way, there's a gray area. And the whole cycle, whole process, you start to experience. That is the true practice. Otherwise, just labeling won't help. Maybe it is helpful for a beginner, but me, I am not even recommending it for a beginner. Initially, it might be a bit difficult, but just continue with your practice and you realize soon you are able to observe this process. That process is so juicy, you can't simply divide it into two stages. That process is so complex, you can't simply divide it into zero or one. Even the walking, some people they say left, right. Some people they say lifting, moving, placing. That way they label. So whatever you do, it either zero or one, two stages, or maybe like three stages, six stages, that's all you can do. But when you really observe the true walking cycle, through walking process, you realize it is so juicy. It contains a lot of information. The process is complex. You simply has to be with that complex process. That is the real meditation. Otherwise, you are just labeling while missing a whole lot of that process. When you label, you only identify two stages. When you label, you only identify three or six stages. While you are identifying two or six stages, you are missing the rest. You are missing the rest. And the process is so much juicy. You can't really divide it into two stages. So this way, you realize the thinking is very slow. The reality, it is moving much faster. The thinking process is very slow. That's why we don't recommend labeling that much. That's why we don't think that, we don't suggest that you can get real insight with the thinking. Thinking is helpful, but only initially. If you want real insight into this process, you have to let go of the thinking as well. You have to devalue the thinking. It is not so much valuable. The thinking is overrated. So that way, when you simply experience the process, when you simply witness the process, that is how you can transcend this hallucination. You start with your formal practice, you gradually extend it to the day-to-day mindfulness, and you simply continue. Continue for a few weeks, continue for a few months, continue for a few years. Suddenly you realize, due to the practice, I am still living my usual life. I am still dealing with my daily matters. I am still working. I am still taking care of my family. But I don't worry so much. I am not taking these things too seriously. I don't create so much fuss out of nothing. So that's how you can truly find the peace within. You have to transcend this hallucination. Little by little, when you go beyond it, little by little, when you go transcend it, then you realize now your mind is not so much moved by this hallucination. Your mind, it has a deep understanding that this is not so real. This is not the real reality. And that very deep understanding will allow you to be less stressed. That very understanding will allow you to be peaceful in your mind. Now, the people, they try to buy peace. With money, they try. With traveling, they try. With eating luxurious things, they try. But at the end of the day, they are just same people, same worrying people with lot of money. Same worrying people living in luxurious apartments. Same worried people that has so many traveling memories. That's all that's there. That's all that they have gathered. Because they don't know that this is a hallucination. They don't know that they are all just prisoners of their own device. So that's the real idea. Maybe that very song, that Hotel California song, also refers to a similar idea. Everybody, they are singing songs, they are doing dancing, right? Such a nice experience. But at the end of the day, you realize you are just prisoners in that place. You can stay there forever. Whenever you wake up, you have the music, you have all the luxuries, all the experiences, but you are not able to leave that place. We are all just prisoners here of our own device. Right? So that's the idea. Thank you for listening, and we encourage you to practice and see through, transcend this hallucination that we are living in.
Thank you very much, Mr. Bhante. It was a very excellent and refreshing and very in-depth and deep talk on the topic selected. Phenomenally nice experience from Bhante's efforts. Thank you very much, Mr. Bhante. We would next move on to the question and answer session, and I will share the screen and I would like to invite Sonali to commence the question and answer session.
Avasarai Bhante. Before we start the session and read the reports, we will share the beginner's guide that we have. The Nisarvana has produced some videos to help us start. For anyone who's starting new, or if anyone asks you for some information, you can share these links with them. We will put all these links in the chat section. And if you could always write to us and we can help you. The first video is about mindful walking. Next is mindful sitting. Once you watch them, set aside some time to start with any amount of time, even if it's 5 minutes to begin with, and then gradually build it up to an hour of each of them on every day is the recommendation. So once you have experienced your meditation, we would like to hear from you. And if you could then write your experience in a reflection report, much similar to the ones that we are going to read later on. And we will then present it to Bhante for his feedback and guidance on your experience. You can send it to us via the email. Email is beginnersnv@gmail.com or the Google form. The link is provided here, and we will share all this information in the chat section, and you can contact us. You can also see previous recordings or share recordings of the session with your friends and family or anyone who would like to know. And that is also, the link is also in here. We will share that in the chat section again. Now we will move on to the reports we have received for today. We have only one report received via email. We don't have any reports received via the Google form. And I will start the first report now. Mindful sitting. Attention was on the seated body and various pressure points. Breath noted, cooler in-breath and warmer out-breath. Breath disappeared soon. Sinking sensation observed. Rocking movement from front to back. Subtle breath appeared again. Sleepiness arose. Body and mind felt calm. Sat for 50 minutes. On reflection, some thoughts did arise, but cannot remember what they were about. Calmer feeling continued for some time after the after the sitting session. Mindfulness during the day. A planned event was cancelled and disappointment arose in the mind, which soon passed away. This kind of event used to take a lot of mental energy in proliferating scenarios, but that habit seemed to have quietened down. When good news came, there arose excitement, which also passed away soon. Mindfulness experienced both excitement and disappointment as passing and elusive feelings. Easier to take a short break when tried, or go for a walk when restless, or to just sit for a few minutes between various tasks. Less interested in how plans may work out, also less interested in others' views on views, because the mind recognizes all of it as just views. A bit of paradox experienced, calmness and content feeling could also be interpreted as boring. Feelings arose from both good and not so good news tend to disappear soon. A bit like the movement of a pendulum slowing down. It will stop moving, or will it stop moving altogether? Do not know. It might or might not. Does not matter either way, as the question shall also pass. Dear Bhante, look forward to your valuable feedback. Much merit to you and the organizers. End of report, Bhante.
Okay, thanks for sharing that experience. We can really relate that experience to the topic that we have been discussing today. Now, you can see that earlier your mind consumed a lot of mental energy worrying about these unfortunate incidents, maybe an event getting cancelled. Earlier, you wasted a lot of mental energy. And with that energy waste, there was no real gain. You are simply worrying and you can't stop it. If you have that option, if you have that choice, you would stop it. You would preserve this energy. But unfortunately, you can't. So that's what happens to most people. They are depressed. They know they are doomed, but they can't get out of it. Sometimes they reach the point where they try to, you know, take their own life. Why? This hallucination, it feels so real and solid to them. Although they know that they are doomed, they can't see other option. Right? So the meditator, they start to transcend this hallucination. And that very process, it's not thinking. You simply do your homework, do the sitting, do the walking, do the daily practice, and continue. When you continue only for a few weeks, few months, you start to see that earlier I wasted so much of my mental energy thinking about these cancelled events. That wasted energy, no real use. You can't bring it back. You are just worrying, thinking. But now you accept that faith, you just move on. Still, there could be little worrying, but it's not so strong. You can let go easily. So letting go, it comes naturally. You can't force your mind to let go. That's not possible. Instead, you do your practice. Do the walking, do the sitting, do the daily practice. As a result, the letting go will appear in your mind. It will naturally appear. And you realize, I used to waste a lot of my mental energy thinking about these things that are out of my control. Now I can focus that energy towards something useful. You are basically not complaining about the darkness. Instead, you can simply light a candle. That's the idea. That's the idea. And that way you become really efficient. You preserve your mental energy and you can utilize it well. Your energy is limited. You have to understand that. Your energy is limited. So that limited energy, you have to utilize it properly. You have to utilize it efficiently. That point, most people, they don't understand. They think that they can just do. They can do 101 things and still be successful. They can work 24/7 and still be successful. At the end of the day, they are suicidal or depressed people with a lot of money. And they are depressed people living in luxurious apartments. They are depressed people with a lot of beautiful memories. That's all. Instead, the meditator, they realize that this letting go happens naturally in your mind. For that, you have to do your homework. You have to do the investment. What is the investment? Just simply continue the observation. As a result, the letting go will naturally appear in your mind. You realize you are utilizing your energy much efficiently. You don't worry about the things that are out of your control. Instead, you simply pay attention to something that you can do, something that is useful. Even other people's views. If you take your views so strongly, then you can even fight other people because of their views. You can even injure other people because of their views. That strongly we take our own views, that strongly we try to defend it. But now you realize you are not taking your views so seriously, and as a result, it doesn't matter what other people are thinking, what their views are. This might really save your relationships. This might really save your marriages. Why? Because you are not really arguing about unnecessary things. You are not really worrying about unnecessary things. Simply you know what is useful. Simply you have your priorities cleared. That's the idea. Most people, although they have so many good qualities, they may have different views that are not aligning with yours. And due to a small matter, maybe a friendship, a decade old friendship could be destroyed due to a small argument. And when that happens, you can go back in time. You can't correct it. Right? So if your mind is able to let go of these views, if your mind is able to not take these things so seriously, then you can really pay attention to the good qualities of that person. You can really remember the friend instead of getting caught in their views. So that way it will be much healthier for you to, you know, maintain your relationships, social connections. It will be much easier and your energy is better utilized. You become energy efficient. That's the real idea, right? All because your mind is letting go of these things easily. Your mind doesn't get caught in this hallucination. So that's a change that we all need. Our minds are so fixed on this hallucination. Our minds are so strongly grabbing this hallucination. But the meditator, they realize within few weeks, few months of this practice, their mind is easily letting go of unnecessary things, preserving energy and utilizing it in a much better way. That's the real idea, and that's what we need in this world. That will save your relationships, that will save your energy, that will save your marriages. Whatever the way, it will be really useful. So that's the real idea. Thank you for sharing, and it's really aligning with the topic that we are trying to discuss. We encourage you to continue your practice and see how this is improving even further. It's not the end, it is just the beginning, right? So when you move forward, when you mature in your practice, more surprises to come, more peace to appear in your mind. You become more and more energy efficient dealing with things. So we wish you good luck and continue your practice.
Thank you, Bhante. Now that's all the reports we have received for today. However, we have two people who possibly started attempting to write a report on the Google form. If you do need any help with it, but they have not continued, this is why I'm mentioning, if you do need any help, write on the report in the Google form, we can help you with that, or contact us at beginnersenvy at Gmail, and we will help you with your report if that's what you need. But I just realized that you haven't continued with the report, just wrote your details and left it. So that's all the reports. So we will move on to questions. If anyone has any questions, please raise your Zoom hand and we will let you unmute and ask your question. See one raised hand. Samantha, would you like to unmute and ask your question?
Thank you, Sonali. And thank you, Bhante, for that interesting talk. I always have this problem about, I've heard about this thing about everything is like our life is a, maybe I misunderstood standing it, a hallucination or a dream. So I was just wondering now what Bhante was, what exactly that meant, because does that mean that what Bhante was saying today, was I dreaming? Because I feel that, is my life just everything is not real? Because the way I see it is like, I've got my five senses, and through the contact of the five senses, that generates some sort of a feeling. And then if I'm not mindful, I cling to that feeling, and that'll cause all sorts of proliferation. And maybe that might be the hallucination, as Bhante was alluding to, controlled perception and non-controlled perception. So maybe at that time, I can then decide how to react with mindfulness. And that's where my meditation comes into play. So then I feel that my life is not right. If it's a hallucination, to a certain extent, it feels like what's the point of living? A dream. I mean, things are happening. Like I can hear Bhante's talk today, and I'm learning the Dhamma, and I'm changing, hopefully, my view to the correct view, seeing reality as it is, you know, in line with the universal truth. So, yeah. So I was just thinking, so that I can react in a wholesome way. Of course, yeah, the meditation helps. Every daily meditation, sitting a practice. Yeah, so is everything a dream, Bhante? Is that what you mean? Or is it a controlled perception or a non-perception? That's my question, Bhante. Thank you.
Yeah, that's very nice. So it feels so real, right? It doesn't feel like a hallucination. It doesn't feel like a dream. So it feels so real. There's this nice story from Lao Tzu. He saw this dream. He was a butterfly and freely moving, flying, floating in the air. And suddenly he woke up. And after waking up, he realized that I was just a butterfly. It was just a dream. I was a butterfly in my dream and I was floating so peacefully in the air. Then after some time, he thought, is this real? Now he is woken up. Now he is Lao Tzu. But he is questioning, is this real? Maybe I am in a butterfly's dream. A butterfly is dreaming being a human. Right? So dream in a dream. So that's the thing. So this is becoming more and more confusing. When you start thinking, it becomes more and more confusing. It feels real. You talk with other people, you listen to them, you heard my talk today. So all these things, it feels real. And that is true in a way, because that's all we see. Like that Plato's shadow stories, shadow analogy. That's the world we have been seeing. That's our reality. So when somebody talks about something beyond this, it's natural that we don't believe. What I'm suggesting is you just continue with your meditation and you realize your mind doesn't take things so seriously when you mature in your meditation. The problem is we could be living in a hallucination, but we don't know that it's a hallucination. We take it so seriously. That's the issue. That's the source of our suffering. That's why Alan Watts says that gods, they have created this for fun. Our problem is we have taken it so seriously. That's why we suffer. What gods have created for fun, we have taken it seriously. So you have to take it as fun. Then it should be fine. No stress, no anxiety. You are simply like a butterfly floating in the air. Right? So that ability will come when we become better at letting go. And as I earlier said, letting go is not intentional. It comes as a result of your meditation. So when you become better at letting go, you realize this world, maybe the gods, they have created it for fun and we can live like that. We are not taking it too seriously because our mind has transcended this hallucination. It has a deep understanding that this is just a dream or this is just a hallucination. You can read into quantum physics, quantum sciences, and they have this weird idea that we are not experiencing a reality. Instead, what we are experiencing is something created in our own mind. When we touch the chair, that very feeling, it's not the touch of the chair that we feel. Instead, it is something, some force that's created in our own senses. Right, so that way, even in quantum sciences, they start to see that although we feel that this reality is so real, so solid, it is not the case. It is not the case. Instead, the mind, it becomes the forerunner. Mind is the forerunner, right? So that way, thinking becomes, thinking makes it more and more confusing. What you have to do is that, you have to develop that ability in your mind not to take this so seriously. And when you have that ability, this world, this life, it becomes enjoyable. You can take it as the way the gods intended. They have created it for fun and you can live like that. That's the very idea. Otherwise, when we take things so seriously, even the dhamma, even the practice, you can't progress in it. I have seen so many people, they are too serious. They are too serious about the practice. They are too serious about the meditation. They are too serious about the dhamma. Even Achancha, he says that I am afraid of the students who are too serious. Right? He says that he is afraid of such students. Why? They are too serious. They want to, you know, perceive the reality. They want to see the Dhamma, see the Buddha. They want to become a Bodhisattva. They want to attain stream entry. All this nonsense. And in the process, they lose the precious present moment. It's all thinking, just thinking. They are too serious. They don't know how to let go. That's why even the Osho says that he is recommending this lazy enlightenment towards laziness. Not too serious, not taking it too seriously, just simply watching. Simply watching. You do your walking meditation, like, you know, enjoying the walk, like maybe like you are walking on a beach. That relaxation should be there. Otherwise, even the meditation doesn't work. Why? Because you have taken this too seriously. Now, for the sake of the practice, sake of the Dhamma, that too doesn't work. You have to be ease in your mind. Let go, relax in your mind. With that relaxation only, the reality will be apparent to you. So that's the idea what I can say. You have to do your part and let Dhamma take care of the rest. Do your meditation and see how your mind is gradually transcending this illusion or this dream.
Thank you, Bhante. That's really inspiring for me to continue with my meditation. So, yeah, and not take it seriously. Have fun. Yeah. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Thank you, Bhante, and thank you, Samantha. Anyone else with questions? It's time to raise your Zoom hand and ask your question. Yes, Samantha, go ahead.
Thank you, Sonali. Bhante, this is not a question, but a kind of playing as the gods intended. Maybe it was not the gods who created this universe. Maybe we created this ourselves without knowing what we were creating. Like somebody creating a large pit and just jumping in, throwing the ladder away, and we are just in there. It might not be the gods. Just a thought.
Yeah, just the, you know, we have to take the figurative meaning when that statement is made. So, according to the Buddha's teachings, it's not us. It's not somebody outside. Instead, it is something, you know, due to the causes, things arise, right? So the dependent origination, that's what they say. So if we say it's somebody else, totally outside, created by a god, then that too is not correct. And if we say it's on our own creation, that too is not correct. The due to the causes, things arise. when there are no longer causes, no longer things will be there. That's a real understanding, but that Alan, what's his statement? You have to take the figurative mean. He's referring to something else while making that statement. So that's the thing, right? So due to the causes, things arise. It's not totally our own creation. That's not true. It's not totally somebody else's creation, right? Instead, certain causes are there. Due to those causes, things arise. Things arise, and when they are here, when they are arisen, that process continues, right? So what you have to do is simply find a way to transcend this creation.
That's a very nice answer, Bhante. Much better to clarifying it so sharply. I think when you become an observer, instead of reacting to what you observe in mindfulness practice, you eventually keep looking at the causes, how they flow through. So that provides you with a lot of wisdom, then thereby allowing the pendulum to not swing too much. To make it a bit more convenient to observe further. So I think the more you observe, the more you can observe, the range of observation can increase. The more you observe as well, when you practice more, the range of observation, well, the depth and range of mindfulness can also increase. Very nice. Thank you, Bhante.
Yeah, let me point out one of the simple incidents somebody shared with me a few weeks back. The how due to the causes things arise, right? So that person, this is a simple incident, but it'll show you how the things work. Now that person was saying that during the work hours, that person can't respond freely. Sometimes they have to suppress their emotions, suppress their anger, right? So that way they have to deal with the people. And coming home, everything is released with the people at home. Maybe the children, they are getting blasted due to no reason. Even the spouse, they are creating problems due to no reason. Why? Because that suppressed anger is getting out of hand when they reach home, right? So earlier, we don't know what's the reasoning for this. Earlier, you don't feel it. But when you have more consciousness, you realize I'm suppressing at a certain time. And due to that suppressed anger, I'm creating problems at home. So it'll be much healthier to realize, become conscious of it. And maybe, with that realization, you can address it better. You can find a better way to deal with it. So that way, we don't know what's happening most of the time, right? We don't know the causes of things, right? So start the meditation and you get insight into yourself. And you realize that due to this, I am behaving this way. I have suppressed anger from all those work hours, and returning home, I blast at everybody, right? So that's a very simple example of such things, how we don't see the real causes of the things that are happening.
Yes, Bhante, very nice practical example. I have experienced the same thing too. So, yes, thank you so much. Much better.
Thank you, everyone. I think that's all the time we have today as well. And there are no more questions, so I will move on to over to Namantha to end the session today.
Thank you, and much merits, Sonali, for another wonderful Q&A session being conducted. Much merits to you. And also much merits to Bhante. And thank you, Bhante, for from start to finish of the program, for putting in such excellent effort in. And also the wisdom that Bhante added to today's session is infinite. Thank you, and much merits to you. So we would move on to wrap up the program as we are slightly over time. We would like to share share all these merits gain with Venerable Bhante Homa Duma Dhamma Kusala Theru for representing Nisaramani Forest Monastery and for such in-depth and thought-provoking insight onto how to practice mindfulness in various perspectives, in various applied manners in daily life, and even in mindfulness in the standard mindfulness practice of walking and sitting. So we wish Bhante all the good health and long life and a continued ability to become wiser and wiser in the path of mindfulness. And we would like to ask Bhante to be present in our program in future sessions in similar manner as well. Furthermore, I would like to share these wonderful merits with the Chief Abbot of the Nisaramani Forest Monastery, the Most Venerable Bhante Udayiregama Dhammajiva Mahatheru, for insightfully requesting this program to be actualized and to be continued in this manner in a weekly format. We wish the Chief Bhante all the good health and long life and ability to prosper in the path of mindfulness practice with great wisdom. Also, there is a wonderful team of organizers who are behind the program working to sustain the reach and the quality of the program. I would like to associate and share these merits with all these wonderful persons. May their own mindfulness practices and aspirations continue to flourish into the future, providing with many wisdom and many benefits. And I would like to also gratefully acknowledge the presence of all of you in the Zoom session as well as in the Facebook live stream and providing us the basis for continuation of the program. I would like to wish all the merits gained to be shared and to be received by all of you, so that your own practices will have a positive impact from these merits, and that you will develop and prosper further into the wisdom of mindfulness practice, and that you will gain the many benefits and be able to develop your mind in a higher capacity. So the program will continue next week at the same time. This is a weekly format program. It will be at 1 p.m. Sri Lankan time, no matter where you are geographically located. So I would wish that you all are able to apply mindfulness practices learned here in daily life. There are 24 hours in the day and 7 days a week. So all that, a lot of time you can apply these while you're doing other work as well. So please apply, and we will meet you next week with a similar session. Have a mindful and happy week ahead, everyone. Thank you.